we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's tip off with U.S. men's college basketball. We've reached the Sweet 16 stage in the National Collegiate Athletic Association's popular Division I championship tournament. There are four games later Thursday night and four more games on Friday night at various locations here in the United States. And joining us now to talk about the Sweet 16 is sports reporter Dan Friedel. Dan, welcome back to the show.
Hi, Sonny. It's good to be here. And it's been kind of an exhausting week or so since we last talked. All these late-night basketball games and thrilling buzzer beaters, it's enough to drive you mad. That's why it's called March Madness.
Dan, I know in one of our earlier conversations, we talked about the international nature of this tournament, how we have European players, African players, and even Asian players competing in the tournament. From an African perspective, Dan, can you maybe spotlight a few players who will be on the court later Thursday night?
You know, one of the reasons why the tournament, now that it's 64, even really more than 64 teams in the tournament, and it manages to still be so exciting. I mean, last week we had the first time that a 16 seed ever defeated a number one seed since the tournament expanded to its full size that it is now, when the University of Maryland Baltimore County defeated the tournament's number one overall team, the University of Virginia. One of the reasons that the small school teams are able to compete with the big school teams these days is because the college basketball landscape has changed, with coaches recruiting players from all over the world. And it's really exciting to see the last names of the players that are in these games. And just to see, you know, these are players that are not necessarily going to make it into the NBA. They're not going to become big time stars worldwide, but they get a chance to shine in college basketball in the United States and get a chance to have an experience that they probably wouldn't have had 20 or 30 years ago. So there are quite a few players in this tournament with African heritage or players who were born in Africa. And one of the teams that really has a healthy contingent of players with roots in Africa is the University of Kentucky. Now, Kentucky is one of these schools that has a great college basketball heritage. You know, you think about teams like UCLA and North Carolina and Duke, and Kentucky is right in there. Our listeners will certainly know about players like John Wall and Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins and Carl Anthony Towns. Those guys have gone on to have outstanding success in the NBA from the University of Kentucky. And there are a couple of players on the University of Kentucky this year who are helping them in the tournament. One is Hamidou Diallo, who was born in New York, but his family is from Guinea. He's a player who had 22 points in their last game, a win over the University at Buffalo. And Wenyen Gabriel is the team's top rebounder. He was born in Khartoum, and he moved to New Hampshire as a child. He had 16 points in the game against Buffalo. So right there, if you're looking at a team that might make it to the championship game with a couple of strong players with African roots, the University of Kentucky might be your team. And the team that they're going up against later today is Kansas State. And Kansas State also has a player, Makol Mawian. He was born in Cairo, and his father is a government official from South Sudan. And Mawian had 11 points and 6 rebounds in the second round game, where Kansas State defeated the upstart underdog team, University of Maryland, Baltimore County. So right there, kind of kicking off the next phase of the tournament, three players with strong African roots in one of the first games.
Dan, you mentioned underdog teams like the University of Maryland, Baltimore County. I think you can say one of the games later Thursday night involves underdog teams. Number 11, Loyola Chicago against number 7, Nevada. Talk about that contest.
People in the U.S. might not know much about Loyola Chicago. And in fact, it looks like they're the only Chicago area team that made it into the tournament this year. You know, there have been strong teams from the Chicago area in the NCAA tournament for many years. I mean, even if you just think back to last year, Northwestern University made the tournament for the first time in their history. The Loyola Chicago Ramblers, you know, they're not a bad team. I mean, they had a narrow win over Tennessee on Saturday night last week, and a narrow win over the University of Miami from Florida in the opening game of the tournament. If you look at their wins, they've won two games by a combined 3 points. But they're, you know, they have players that can make shots. They've got a strong confidence in themselves, and you know, they would be an amazing story if they were able to get to the next round. But the University of Nevada, Reno, many of our listeners might know about the strong teams that the University of Nevada from Las Vegas had in the 90s. But this is the University of Nevada from Reno. They're a strong team. You know, they were one of the best teams in the western part of the U.S. during the regular season. And just showing that they were able to knock off the University of Cincinnati, which was the number 2 seed, to get to this game against Loyola, I think it should be an exciting game. I mean, there's no doubt it could come down to the wire, just like a number of the games have so far in the tournament.
I'm talking with Dan Friedell about the Sweet 16 in the U.S. Men's College Basketball Championship Tournament. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Dan, during Wednesday's show, we welcome back Mwamoyo Hoops Hamza, the chief of the VOA Swahili service, and we kind of talked about Texas a little bit and how Texas basketball fans have a lot to cheer about in March. In addition to those explosive Houston Rockets in the NBA, two Texas teams, Texas A&M and Texas Tech, in the Sweet 16. I guess Texas has a pretty good pedigree when it comes to basketball, doesn't it, Dan?
Well, you have to think about the fact that it's such a big state, and high school sports are such a big deal. Certainly, you look back into the 1980s and 1990s, and you know that some of the best National Football League players came from Texas high schools. But basketball has exploded in the last 20 and 30 years, and such a large state with so many young athletes in the state. When these other colleges in Texas start to put a focus on basketball, I mean, even Texas Christian University, which is in Fort Worth, Texas, made it into the tournament, along with the University of Texas. As we mentioned when we talked recently about Mohamed Bamba, who was a player with African roots, who was on the University of Texas team. So, yeah, I mean, there's a lot to root for if you're a basketball fan from the University of Texas. And even another school that has been good in past years was Baylor University's team. So, yeah, if you're a college basketball fan and you have some allegiance to Texas, this has been a good season for you. Texas A&M going up against Michigan, which advanced to this game on an overtime buzzer beater, or a buzzer beater that kept the game from going into overtime just barely. A wide outside three-point shot by a freshman from the University of Michigan moved Michigan into this game over the University of Houston, another Texas team. This is a matchup, Michigan-Texas A&M, I think that could go either way for sure. And then Texas Tech-Purdue, that game will be on Friday. We'll see what happens in that matchup. But Purdue is one of the biggest teams in the tournament, and they could provide kind of a mismatch in a couple of cases against Texas Tech. So if you had to ask me, I think maybe Purdue might move out of that game.
One other game later Thursday night, Dan. Florida State will be facing Gonzaga. And I guess I think of John Stockton when I think of Gonzaga, one of the great players from that university. But maybe some thoughts on the Florida State-Gonzaga matchup, Dan.
Well, Gonzaga has this pedigree of being one of the best smaller schools to play in the NCAA tournament in recent years. Obviously, we know that Gonzaga was just a couple of possessions away from winning the championship game last year, which wound up being won by the University of North Carolina. North Carolina got knocked out of the tournament last weekend as well. So Gonzaga is it certainly has the pedigree. They have the experience. They have a lot of older players who had the experience of getting to the finals last year. But Florida State looks like a strong team themselves. They've managed to be kind of the underdog team, winning a couple of games. Obviously, they knocked off Xavier University, which was one of the number one seeds in the tournament. On this side of the bracket that we're looking at, that we're talking about, the games that get started on Thursday, no number one seed remains. And that's thanks to the, let's say, the equaling of the playing field in college basketball in recent years. I mean, a lot of analysts have been talking about how the best college basketball teams in the 80s and 90s, they would have five starting players and five substitutes that could have played for any other team in the country. And these days, there's a lot more parity as far as every team has a couple of good players. And it's not like in the 1960s or 1970s or 1980s where some of the schools just had all of the best players in the country all the way down to their 12th or 13th player.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I'm talking with Dan Friedell about college basketball's Sweet 16. Dan, the University of Arizona did not advance to the Sweet 16, and yet one of their big men making headlines. Tell our VOA basketball fans about that.
Yeah, well, we were talking about the University at Buffalo, the State University of New York at Buffalo, and the fact that they are even being mentioned in this tournament is pretty amazing, considering they knocked off the University of Arizona, which was one of these pre-tournament favorites. And that has a lot to do with DeAndre Ayton, who is a 7-foot-tall player. He moved to the United States from the Bahamas as a teenager, and he averaged over 20 points and 10 rebounds a game for the University of Arizona, which was one of these teams that people really thought could advance deep into the tournament. They had a little bit of controversy at the end of their season with some allegations of illegal payments going from representatives of the school to players, and a lot of that is continuing to be investigated. But some of the college basketball analysts thought that Arizona might go deep into this tournament, and getting knocked off by Buffalo was a real shocker. And it's too bad, because a lot of people would have had the opportunity to see Ayton play a little bit more before moving on to the NBA. But the other day he said that he was going to declare for the NBA draft. And most people think he's going to be the number one pick during the draft later this year.
Thanks, Dan. That's sports reporter Dan Friedell. And Dan spoke with us from my birthplace of Charleston, South Carolina. I'm Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Turning to tennis, American star Serena Williams lost to Japan's Naomi Osaka in straight sets Wednesday night in the first round of the Miami Open in Florida. Now, Serena still looks rusty in her comeback from pregnancy, and she was not able to overcome a tough draw against Osaka, who won 6-3 and 6-2. The 20-year-old Osaka was coming off her first career title 4 days ago at the BNP Paribas tournament at Indian Wells in California. The Japanese player showed no signs of let-up, and she beat 36-year-old Serena Williams with a stronger serve while also wearing Serena down in rallies, working her from side to side. The matchup was worthy of a final, and it came about because both players are unseeded in Miami. Osaka is ranked a career best 22nd in the world, while Serena Williams is ranked 491st after a layoff of more than a year. Serena has lost in the first round only four other times, most recently at the 2012 French Open. In more tennis news, Jack Sock, Sam Querrey, John Isner, Ryan Harrison, and Steve Johnson were picked for the U.S. Davis Cup team that will face Belgium in the quarterfinals next month in the southern U.S. city of Nashville, Tennessee. Now let's go to the Egyptian capital, Cairo, where the Confederation of African Football has held the draw for the group stage in the Champions League tournament, the continent's premier club competition. Defending champion Wydad Casablanca of Morocco is drawn in Group C, along with AS Port of Togo, Mamelodi Sundowns of South Africa, and Haroya of Guinea. Al Ahly of Egypt, winners of a record 8 African titles, is in Group A, along with Township Rollers of Botswana, Esperance of Tunisia, and Kampala Capital City Authority Football Club of Uganda. Group B has TP Mazembe from the Democratic Republic of Congo, Difa El Jadidi of Morocco, as well as two Algerian clubs, Mouloudia Alger and Entente Setif. Finally, in Group D, the clubs are Zesco United of Zambia, Primeiro de Agosto of Angola, Etoile Sahel of Tunisia, and Mbabane Swallows of Swaziland. The group phase matches in the CAF Champions League will kick off the weekend of May 4th to May 6th. CAF also held draws for the playoffs in the Confederation Cup tournament, Africa's second-tier club football competition. Defending champion TP Mazembe has moved up to the CAF Champions League, so a new winner will be crowned later this year in the Confederation Cup. There are 16 playoff round series in the CAF Confederation Cup, and they'll be played over two legs. The first legs will kick off the weekend of April 6th to April 8th. Let's run down the 16 matchups. Zanaco of Zambia will meet Raja Casablanca of Morocco. AS Vita Club of the Democratic Republic of Congo will play CS La Mancha of Congo Brazzaville. St. George of Ethiopia is matched against Kara Brazzaville of Congo Brazzaville. Al Hilal of Sudan will play Akwa United of Nigeria. Gor Mahia of Kenya will play Supersport United of South Africa. UD Songo of Mozambique will play Al Hilal Obied of Sudan. Plateau United of Nigeria is matched against USM Alger of Algeria. Another Nigerian club, Enyimba, the People's Elephant, will play Wits of South Africa. Adwana Stars of Ghana will go against Fosa Juniors of Madagascar. Young Africans of Tanzania will take on Waleta Dicha of Ethiopia. Generation Foot of Senegal will go against Renaissance Berkane of Morocco. Mouana of Gabon is matched against El Masri of Egypt. ASEC Mimosas of Ivory Coast will play CR Belouizdad of Algeria. Williamsville of Ivory Coast will play Deportivo Nifang of Equatorial Guinea. One of my favorite names for a football club in Africa, Mountain of Fire and Miracles of Nigeria. Climb those mountains. Deliver the miracles. Mountain of Fire and Miracles of Nigeria is matched against Joliba of Mali. And Rayon Sports of Rwanda will play Costa do Sol of Mozambique. The 16 winners in this playoff round will advance to the group stage in the CAF Confederation Cup. Once again, the first leg matches are scheduled for the weekend of April 6th to April 8th, and the second legs on April 17th and April 18th. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Friday will be a big day for Africa's five World Cup-bound football teams. They'll all be in action in friendly international matches to help them prepare for Russia 2018. Let's take a quick look at the matchups. The Pharaohs of Egypt will face Cristiano Ronaldo and European champion Portugal in Zurich, Switzerland. The Atlas Lions of Morocco will meet Serbia in Turin, Italy. The Super Eagles of Nigeria will play Poland in Wrocław, Poland. Two more World Cup-bound African football teams, Senegal and Tunisia, will both be in action in Africa. Senegal will go against Uzbekistan in Casablanca, Morocco, and Tunisia will host Iran in the capital, Tunis. Now, ahead of that Morocco-Serbia match in Turin, Italy, the Moroccans announced that Real Madrid defender Achraf Hakimi has withdrawn from the Moroccan squad because of injury. Kind of unclear exactly what the injury is. The Moroccans say the 19-year-old defender suffered the injury during training in Turin ahead of that friendly against Serbia. Morocco's team doctor, Abdurrazak Hifti, issued a video statement, and he says Achraf Hakimi was injured during the first day of training with the national team. The situation is still unclear, says the Moroccan doctor, but Real Madrid have demanded he return to Madrid, Spain. Hakimi will also not play in a friendly match against Uzbekistan at home in Casablanca on March 27th. Hakimi has been enjoying a breakthrough season with Real Madrid. He has one goal in 14 appearances with the Spanish power. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More football news. Manchester United has applied to set up a professional women's team for the first time. If the English Football Association accepts the request, United would enter the women's club in the second tier of the Women's Super League. Ed Woodward, United's executive vice chairman, says the women's team must be built in the image and with the same principles as the storied Premier League men's team. Let's turn to some National Basketball Association news now. We were talking college basketball at the beginning of the show with Dan Friedel. LeBron James, the Cleveland Cavaliers superstar, had another big game on Wednesday night. LeBron tallied 35 points and had 17 assists as the Cavaliers beat the Toronto Raptors 132 to 129 to snap Toronto's 9-game road winning streak. Kevin Love, recently back from a broken hand, also played well for the Cavaliers. He made a late 3-point shot. So the Cavaliers winners over Toronto. Elsewhere, DeAndre Jordan had 25 points and added 22 rebounds to help lead the Los Angeles Clippers to a 127 to 120 win over the Milwaukee Bucks. Milwaukee's all-star forward Giannis Antetokounmpo left the game with a sprained right ankle in the second quarter. And that wraps up the March 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Wojciech Zorniak. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
On March 22nd, we observe World Water Day. It is an opportunity to shine a light on the importance of clean water and take action to counter water-related crises arising around the world. Without water, life is not possible, and yet around 2 billion people now live in areas of severe scarcity. Some 1.8 billion people depend on sources of drinking water that are contaminated with fecal waste, putting them at risk of contracting a number of deadly diseases such as cholera and dysentery. If current trends of consumption and pollution continue, by 2050 that number will increase to 3 billion people. While increased water waste treatment is needed, green infrastructure solutions based on nature can produce low-cost options for restoring water quality and quantity. Right now, unsustainable land and water usage practices are contributing to the problems of pollution and scarcity. As forested land is degraded and natural wetlands lost, drier areas become drier still and are rendered unsuitable for agriculture, while areas that are subject to heavy precipitation, such as monsoon rain, suffer more frequent and intense flooding. Soil erosion is also a problem. Every year, 25 to 40 billion tons of topsoil are carried off by erosion, significantly reducing the soil's ability to regulate and retain water, carbon, and nutrients. The runoff, containing large amounts of nitrogen and phosphorus, is also a major contributor to water pollution. These are some of the reasons why this year's World Water Day theme is Nature for Water, exploring how we can use nature to overcome the water challenges of the 21st century. This includes restoring forests, grasslands, and natural wetlands, reconnecting rivers to floodplains, creating buffers of vegetation along watercourses. All are examples of nature-based solutions that help maintain water availability and quality. We can protect soil from erosion by utilizing conservation agriculture and planting native trees and shrubs along water courses. We can help filter and purify wastewater and enhance biodiversity, protecting wetlands which naturally filter and hold water, and reducing areas of hard surfaces and turf will also decrease runoff and water pollution. When we degrade our ecosystems, we make it more difficult to provide our population with the water we need to survive and thrive. On this World Water Day, we explore how nature-based solutions may help to solve many of these challenges.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Hello, I'm Douglas Impoga. Join me for Reporters Roundtable every Thursday at 17:30 UTC. We'll take an in-depth look at an African news topic important to you. We'll have African journalists and expert guests share their ideas on the topic at hand. So, please plan to be with us every Thursday at 17:30 UTC, right here on The Voice of America.
Hello, Africa. This is James Barty, host of Daybreak Africa, inviting you to join me every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC as we bring you the latest in African news, features, and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our listener mail segment by sending your comments and opinions to daybreakafrica@voanews.com. You can also call us and leave us a voicemail at 202-205-9942. That's 202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. Start your day with Daybreak Africa every weekday morning at 3, 4, 5, and 6 hours UTC on the Voice of America.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.